Seven kufnun dalad sif yudalad. Emelik and ner shall hedge it, mean ner shall basic nesses. A person wants to light his own private ner.
From a synagogue lamp?
From a ner in the shul, he cannot do that. But, b'yesh misha omer, the honey mili b'oid shadolki in the mitzvosin. As long as you're using them for the purpose of lighting the shul, for the purpose of davening, etc., so you cannot use it for other purposes. You cannot take a nair from that, light a nair from that, for a secular purpose. However, once it reached a time when you would be putting them out, davening is over, but he's leaving, so they'd be putting them out anyway, so they're not needed for the mitzvah purposes, then you may use them for lighting your personal nair. Hagah.
See, this. How does this make sense? Because if you're talking about a light, I'm assuming you're talking about a candle, right?
Candle.
A flame candle.
Right.
How does lighting another candle from an already lit candle in any way diminish the original candle?
It's a interesting question. It's not so much a question of diminishing, but you're using it for a purpose which you're not allowed to use it for. It's designated for a higher level purpose, and you're losing it for a lower level purpose which you can't do. Right, just like we understand, I mean, a very crude comparison. Let's say, you know, if I would put on tefillin for a school of purposes, I figure like, you know, it wards off evil spirits. Right?
Okay.
It's still tefillin, not diminishing, but that's not what tefillin are made for. Tefillin are made to wear for the. Tefillin is not affected by it, tefillin is not damaged by it, nothing happens to the tefillin because of it. But I can't use film for that purpose. So I can't use a nair for this purpose, lighting a secular nair.
But you're not talking about like a nair Hanukkah or a nair Shabbos. You're talking about just a candle that's used to lit the shul so people can have light to pray with.
Correct. Hagol, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Comes to Ramah. And Ramah says, Miu, Lenogol Lizor Bekach, Medlikim Ehen Nair Shoots the Tzarech Kodol. We do light nairis from the shul, nairis. For other purposes, as long as it's a valid purpose, it's a real need. We could argue that the reason why that's mutter is because when we designate these things for the shul, the seber, the bezdin, someone made a condition that it's not being designated only for holy purposes, you may use it for other purposes as well. And in general, all of these things which we are more lenient in some areas than we would expect the halacha would require us in regards to Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, we could argue that there's a lay bezin mastam, that bezin, when they designated it, they wrote in a condition that if we need it for other purposes, we may still use it for the other purposes. So they've not, it's not fully designated. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah is going to talk about how far are we willing to take this, lay best and master. So the Mishnah Berurah ain't mal dikim, the gimel. Oh, a second. Oh. Adam wanted me to call in, I forgot. Okay, so hold on, Mr. Burris, so cut no gimel. Amal Likin.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hi, I'm sorry, I forgot. I started the show. We did the Sifu Dal, but don't Mr. Burris. So cut no gimel. Amal Likin. The Ish Kedushas Beis HaKnesses Aleihem. So you can't use the Neiris to light other Neiris because the Neiris have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. They're part of the Shul. And they have to use for Shul purposes and not other purposes. So you can't light a Neir Shal Hedit Nundalad. Well, Afuke, when we're saying Ner Shal Hedya, that means Ner Shal Mitzvah is permitted. For example, Hadik Memeno Ner Shabbos V'Chanako, or Tzark Talmud Torah, the Shori. I want to light a Ner to be able to go sit in my corner and learn, so that's fine. I want to light, you take it home to use for Ner Shabbos, so that's Mutter. Now, by Ner Chanukah, for example, you cannot light a Ner from a Ner Chanukah, because we need to have Ner Chanukah specifically designated just for the purpose of Ner Chanukah, so like we said before, to create the heker of a Pesumah Nisa. If you don't make it untouchable, people will not realize it's for mitzvah parts, purposes of to publicize the Nesim Chanukah. They'll think it's for other purposes. It's my personal use. Well, you can't use it for anything else. So must, why are you lighting it then? Must be for the mitzvah, for the publicizing the nes. So that by Ner Chanukah, there is a limitation. We're not madlik another Ner from Ner Chanukah, even Ner Shal Shabbos. But over here in the Mishnah Dershu, he brings that the Mishnah Berurah suggests over there that maybe Ner Shabbos would be mutter from Ner Chanukah.
Certainly, I would think from the Shamash.
The Shamash is sure is mutter. That's not the problem. The problem is
from one of the actual Neros of actual Chanukah.
Right, but over there, I'm sorry. Over there, it says you can't use even for Ner Shabbos. But other Neros of mitzvah, you could light from it, like we're saying over here as well. So Ner Beis HaKnesses could be used to light other Neros according to the Ramah. But the Yesh Amrim in the Shulchan Aruch says that if you no longer have it designated for Ner for Chanukah, for Shul purposes, for example, Kishisarach LeKabosin. So then you can light something else from it. Hatam, why is this permitted? Because even though Ner Chanukah you cannot benefit from, that's only during the time that they're lighting for the mitzvah purpose, which the Gemara designates that is sometime around Shkia, whoever you understand that halacha, when you light Shkia or Tzeis, for up to half an hour after Tzeis. After that, it's no longer there for Pesum and Issa. And the luck is that if it's still lit, you may use it for other purposes. So over here also, once it's no longer needed for the shul, you may use it for other purposes as well. There is an issue over there, which we spoke about when we learned there, that near Chanukah, that there's a Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav had argued that nowadays, where people are out on the street later, so the reason why we say half an hour after it's ace is because that's basically the time that people are still on the street. And after that, basically the streets would empty out. Then primary way to do the mitzvah was to publicize an ace, was to do it in a way that you were lighting towards the street for the people in the street. So after half an hour, there's nobody in the street anyway, so what are you lighting for? That's why this man ends then. But nowadays, where the time people continue in the street later, your nair must last later. That also means you can't benefit from the nair until that ends. So depending on which street you're in, you're in a very heavily traversed street, that'd be much later. If it's a lighter street, it would be earlier. But you couldn't benefit from the nair until after that point in time, according to the Brisker Rav.
What if, let's say, you work late, you get home, I don't know, 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, it's well after Shkia, and most people are already, you know, at home, so would you be able to, quote-unquote, use those lights right away?
Well, for half an hour, we pass in this man halak is at least a half an hour. So for half an hour, you can't. But after that, theoretically, you could. But, you know, okay. Now, the circle, you're allowed. So we said there's a lay bezin masna that when we designated the oil for this purpose and we lit it with the intention that there's other needs, even though there's secular needs, if there are valid needs, you can light from it. However, the union halachadik a people shall tabak mean there shall basically you want to light your pipe. I'm sorry, chuba shall posik lister mean there shall tefila. You cannot light your pipe from a near shall tefila. That's not called a tzarech gadol that we're going to say lev bezin masna. So even after the lev bezin masna, bezin had made this condition that you know had put in this understanding when you designated it that it's not being solely designated for mitzvah purposes, you use other purposes. But it's you from there. So basic Knesset, you can't light a pipe.
Why would you? I mean, even in you know when this was
to first, smoke, yeah,
was to smoking. I think even then they knew that smoking was dangerous to your health. Why would you think that you could use?
They didn't. They weren't aware of that.
They called them coffin nails back in during the Civil War.
Okay, I can't help you. Okay.
Well, of course, that was cigarettes, not pipes, but the same, it's still tobacco.
But in there, a Yortzeit licht, which that's not being used for any mitzvah purpose, but they would light it. It should be lit as a memorial Nair candle for the. So that doesn't have a kedusha on it, which would preclude it being used for secular purposes, even to the point of lighting a pipe from it. Because was ever chasidim sim and tough yud. You can't take one of the nairs from the shul to go find your drop some money. You can't use it to search your money. If you come to the shul, and the shuls were dark. You know, it was you come in, it was totally dark. So you're afraid that there's somebody hiding in the shul somewhere. You need to go search and see if there's anybody hiding. You can do that. That's what the Sefer Chassidim says. Now that we've sort of set up a lay bezin masa situation where the bezin is putting this limitation on the original kedusha and allowing it to be used for other purposes, so if you dropped your money, that'd be considered a valid purpose that you would be able to take an air from light, take an air or light an air from the nearest of the shul to look for your money. Okay, sif tesvov. B'nei krach shit kanu sefer Torah. So the people together contributed to buy sefer Torah, and they live in a krach in a large city. V'hisna, and they made up in the original arrangements. Shimyetze echad me'akrach. One of the people moves away. The people who are staying behind will pay him for his contribution into the Sefer Torah. Now, v'hukru hasorim, the price of the Sefer went up. So if we argue that there's 100 people in the city, each person contributed $100, so that's $10,000, and they bought a Sefer Torah, right? Now, each person owns 1/100th of the Sefer, but the value of the Sefer went up, and now the Sefer costs $20,000. So he argues everybody has to pay me $200, because I own one portion, which is now worth $200. So this arrangement is only mechayev the other members of the city, to reimburse him for the money he spent. People were not owning a portion of the Sefer Torah that they have a right to say my portion is more valuable and I'm going to charge for it. The arrangement was, it belongs to the city. It's there for the uses of the people in the city. But each person who contributed has a right to say it. I'm no longer using it, I want my money back. Okay. Mr. Burrow will flesh this out. It's quite a lot of Mr. Burrow here. Let's see if we can see how much we can cover. Nunzayin, the Hisnu. So the Mishnah, what about Ubaloi Hisno? Let's say they did not make any type of arrangements. When they bought it, with the intention that the Sefer Torah should stay there. If you're leaving, you're leaving. It means you're forgoing your rights to the Sefer Torah. So had they not made any arrangements, there'd be no need for any reimbursement at all. Okay. Elamash and Losa. So we give them back the amount of money he put in. The mistoma, we reimburse him that. Loi hisna elo lechalik mavur bo isheshor bo lasa shumo acheres. What they meant to say, we're guaranteeing you will get covered the cost of the money that you spent. We're not promising we're going to make new evaluations and reevaluate how much it's worth, etc. Okay. Va'avim hoi royli histabik bi l'shanim l'mashit nizkavnu. L'manizkavnu. Even if the language was ambiguous, and it wasn't clear exactly what they had, what their intent was. That's still the halacha. Given the manushach, a sefer Torah nishar nisharim. Sefer Torah is not going anywhere. You can't. The person's ownership does not give him the rights to take it. So the sefer Torah, they're muchzik, arguing that sefer Torah is staying here. If the sefer Torah would be leaving, so they have to buy it back from him, because I'll charge whatever price I want to charge. That's not the story. The story is David Torah staying, and they have to reach into their pockets and pay him. So they can argue how much prove how much we owe, that we owe more, and I'll pay you more. Meanwhile, I'm only going to pay you less. So zikum lahasur damim be yisav kami yaziru. So what's the memory? Sefer Torah memonu shalti donu be shum dami icy raya ushko. Sefer Torah, it's staying here. What's the issue? The money. So prove how much we owe you, and we'll pay you. Meanwhile, we're going to pay you what we believe, well, the small amount that we believe we owe. Now, if he times there, according to this argument, but if they went down in price, they could argue we don't owe you more than the value of your portion. So if the value of Svarim went down in price, so he don't get reimbursed the smaller amount.
So this is almost sort of like the opposite of Hegdish. Hegdish can never lose, but you can, essentially.
The original arrangement was he has a right to buy them out. Even though he decided not to buy them out, so now, their argument in the case before was: listen, we're musik in the Sefer Torah. We don't have to buy the Sefer Torah from you. We're musik in the Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah is not the issue. We're musik. The issue is how much do we owe you? Well, the amount that we owe you is when you're asking us to reach into our personal money and pay you, because your money is long gone. It was used for the Sefer Torah. So what we're paying you is out of our own money. Our own money. We're definitely the musik. So musik mekavel baray, but. That's when you're arguing that the Sefer Torah is a given that it belongs to them. But if the Sefer Torah is not a given that belongs to them, i.e., they're not musik in it, so he has a right to say, I'm not going to return that which I have, my musak is in the Sefer Torah, until you pay me the higher amount. Right? So he says that situation can play out in the following scenario. Okay, so they made it tonight, originally, that each member of the city has a right to put in the full amount of money and buy out all the other partners and purchase the safer. So at any given moment, he has that right, so they can't be called a muxik. I mean, nobody's physically holding the safer Torah, right? It's not that it's not your standard muxik in that sense. But the point, since the safer Torah is going to stay here in the city, and they are the ones who are staying, and he's leaving, it's kilo der muxik. Well, but if the scenario which he has the right at any given moment to buy out, and take the Sefer Torah with him, so then the Sefer Torah is not a given that's going to stay here either. So then they're not the muxik. So they're saying, okay, we want you to forgo your rights to the Sefer Torah, and we'll pay you X. He says, I think I deserve Y. So that he has an argument. That I'm not willing to forgo my rights to the Sefer Torah until you pay me the larger amount. Okay. Now, Bilvat. So they only get the person who gets reimbursed according to the amount of money he put in. So Mishnah Berurah expands to other scenarios. This is ultimately a case where that, without, like we pointed out, without any tanai, it belongs to the shul. It doesn't belong to any individual. It belongs to the people of the city. So, of course, he has no rights to it. He doesn't get reimbursed at all. And now he came along and made this tanai, which allows him to get reimbursed. And we say he meant at the value of the time he gave the money in, that he was calling for a real ownership with the right to require a new shuma later on. So in this scenario, since they're muxik in the sense it's going to stay by them, that's part of the arrangement, that it's going to stay by them no matter what. So if it's going to stay by them, elmai what, he has a right to get money. So therefore, hey Marmim, I see Raya kama magil chob b'shil tanai shil chob b'ushko. Because I listen, prove that you deserve the higher amount, and we'll pay you. Meanwhile, we're going to pay you the smaller amount because they're the muxik. Aval shutrim shekonu b'yachad b'ayis echon. Let's take a case where you have two partners bought a house together. Each one arranged that the other one, if I want to pull out, I can pull out and you'll pay me my portion. And meanwhile, the value of the house went up, and one of the partners is backing out and wants to get reimbursed by the other partners. So over there, so they're going to have to pay him according to the value of that his and his portion in the shutvis, how much it's worth now. So the price went up, they have to pay him. He owns part of the house, and his part of the house went up in value. And you're buying that part of the house from him. You're not reimbursing him for what he paid. He owns this. He has control over it. He's the muhsik, as it were. And you're buying him out. So you pay him out. Until you pay what the amount that he wants, you didn't do anything. Whereas the case of the Tevatara is staying here no matter what. So he has no real rights over the Tevatara. He just has the right to get money. So then he's coming to demand money from their pockets. They say, where the muhsik? But a case where he actually owns a portion of the item, so they have to buy him out. So of course they would need to pay the full value as of now. The mikarcha tanai lo yigar mikarcha. The fact they made it tanai, it doesn't make it. He shouldn't lose. The loy bought tanai is elo yapas karcha. Lo yistarak lahamtin adzman shiur to him. Ma'ashen can compensate for ter. So what the tanai does over there was theoretically there is a countably more of gadol igud that any person can make a request. I want to either buy you out, or you'll buy me out. And that's something which a person can do even without a kach of tonight. But over here, the tonight accomplished that I don't have to wait. I can force their hands to buy me out. Fine, but I don't lose many rights because of that. Mashengim b'sefer Torah, they said, I didn't aim loy shum schus b'sefer Torah b'lti yad tanai. But the sefer Torah is all around. He has no schus at all in the sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is staying. He's leaving. So he can't take the sefer Torah with him. He has no schus from the sefer Torah. So he's saying goodbye to the sefer Torah. But the tanai allowed him to demand money. Okay, so mechanah.
So what?
Like I said before. Now, b'nei yir shoyu lehem new case basic nesses echod. They had one shul, and a need arose for a second shul. Dinu shakol klei kodesh asiv retari yachloik above been said. So how do we split up the arrangements between the what's in the old shul and what's in the new shul? Okay. So like this, im yesh achaveitzim yiduim, shekdishim yachid the b'dayin lo nishtach k'shem b'alim. There are items which a specific individual donated. We know who that was. We have not forgotten who the donor was. Yachid hu or yershim lahalicham lebeisek knesses shispalu b'seichah. So he can take him to whichever shul he's in. He's in the first shul. He can leave. He can force it to stay there. He's in the second shul, the new shul. He could take it with him to the new shul. Okay. If, however, the name of the original donor has been forgotten already, it's become so used in the shul, etc., and just assume that it belongs to the shul, people don't remember who gave it originally. Even though we know who was the one who gave it, but if people are not generally aware of that, they're not calling it based on that. He has no power to take it with him to anywhere else. It's a form of yush on his part. Now, that's a person who donated a specific item. Things which were bought from the communal funds. fi erech anoshim shehem miben yigimol v'mal. So we need to divide. We have to. There's a valid need to create a second shul. We're dividing our resources between the two shuls. So how do you divide it? You divide it according by head, right? So, and what's a, which heads count? Boys over the age of a mitzvah and up. Once they're chiyuv and mitzvahs, chiyuv and part of a minyan, so they have as much as everybody else as schus to benefit from the sefer Torah and the items of the mitzvah as anybody else. Even though they're not heads of a household, they're not donating. The issue is not donors, the issue is users. The users, the donors, the shul with its money purchases items to be used by the users. They're all users. That is a Yesh Amr. And this is an Ayurab. Magen Avraham calls to the gamble, Noshim Betaf Yesh Chelik B'chol Adavon. Ki Yarshim Aschus Me'Avisei. So it's not just the users, but women and children as well. Under the Bar Mitzvah. But as their, since their, ancestors donated, they are Yarish that schus, even though they're not users. Vimi Yavshir Lechalkum, Yisham Shalem Kol Echad Erek Zman Lefi Aschus Yesh Lebehem. Something which you can't divide. We don't have enough Sefer Torah to divide, etc. So they will take turns using the Sefer according to the times will be allotted according to how many schusim each shul has, smaller shul, larger shul, etc. Kahol shabarka meir me'ezah siba. You had a community which is forced to escape from the city due to some danger. One of the individuals took responsibility for taking the Klei Kodesh on his own volition. He did that. The community was able to go back into the city and resettle. And they want these items back. He says, I took them. He has to return the Klei Kodesh back to them. Even though he was the original donor, A, he doesn't want to move back there in that city. So he wants to take him with him to a new city. Once Rebbe Kol is back, this is the call he donated it to. And the call it belongs to the call. He donated it, but it belongs to them, so they get the right to get their item back. Now, if the majority did not resettle there, means that basically that kikila has dispersed. So then, this minority who's settling there does not take over the status of the kikila. Say we have a right to decide, and we can force you to leave it here, because he gave it to a much larger group than this group. Okay. That's Ramami Pano. He was a rabbi in the city Pano in Italy. The person purchased the right for glilas for the whole year. So he has a right to use it himself, give it to other people, etc. But he owns all the glilas for the year. The king exiled the Jews from the city, forced them out. So what happens to his rights that he bought of getting, let's say, Galila, having the rights to distribute the schus of Galila to himself, to his family, to his friends? What happens? The Mishasha Kenya Nishma Dvar Melech. It was already known that the king's decision, even though they were intending to, they were working on trying to find some way to avert the decree. Even though his the circle of Shem, So he should have said, I'm only committing to pay this X amount of money to get this mitzvah if I'll end up getting the mitzvah over the year. But if I don't, I'm not going to pay. So he didn't say that. Well, he should have. He should have thought about that possibility because the king is threatening to evict all the Jews and saying, yeah, well, I feel confident to work it out. It's not really true. And we know that deep down you're a little bit nervous, but you're saying, you know what, I'm not worried about it because I'll probably still get something. I'll be able to still get some rights over here. So I said, no, that's not true. If you didn't say anything, you should have been master. You should have spoken something out because you knew the possibility. You chose not to, so you lose. Now, so you have to pay. If he hasn't paid the full amount, he has to pay the full amount. Forget about not getting his schus reimbursed. He has to pay the amount that he committed to. When he makes a tanai, it has to meet all of the rules of how to make tanoim properly. You want to make a valid tanai. So the valid tanai requires, should be a tanai kafel, number one. It means you say both sides of the story. That I am... He says, if the year remains, I'm contributing X amount of money to get this schus for the year. If the Jews remain here for this year, and the Jews don't remain here for this year, I'm not committing. I won't get my schus, and I'm not committing to pay. So he says both sides. But you need, so Mishpat HaTzaron requires, A, that it should be Tanai Kofel. It should be, you have to say both possibilities. B, you have to say tonight, cut on the mice. You have to say the condition before the actual, right? So, if that we stay here for this year and I get a chance to get on my aliyahs, then I'm committing to pay X amount of money. So I said the tonight, if before the then I'm committing to say the tonight, cut on the mice. You need hain, cut on the love. You have to say the positive side before the negative side, right? I'm committed to give the money. That's the positive side. If there's no problem with the debt, I'm committing to give the money. If there is, I'm not committing to give the money. So you say that the positive side, the hain, before the lot. Some cases are not as clear. What's called the positive, what's called the negative. So you need... And you need the tanai and maaser shouldn't be bedavrechad. You can't make the tanai in the... In the same thing that you're discussing, how you're making the kinyan, or not the kinyan, but the impact that you're trying to accomplish. Tanakhai called Meister because I'm. This is who talking. This is the Chayyim. What was this? I'm not going to write. He disagrees with the Ramami Panu. Even if he did not make all of the Nishpat Hatzanoia, if it was clear that what was his thought process, that he wanted, he's only giving it because of this purpose, and otherwise he's not giving it, so that's all you need. Fine. Let's hold it here. So just in regards to the action plan for the next few days, so tonight's Thursday night, so obviously there's no shiur on Friday, Shabbos, or Sunday. Monday night is every friend's drasha, which is called for 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'd like to start early if that's possible. Would 7:15 work?
Yes.
So Monday night.
I'm trying to think. 7:15. Mincha might be over by
then.
I mean, Mincha
Mar
might be over by
then. I'm basically right after Mincha Mar. Now, I could.
Now, you're talking about over in the over across the way, but not here?
So then, I guess it's the next question. What do you want to do? I could do it there. It's probably easier for the people who want to go to the drasha. They'd rather be there than here.
Yeah, and I would like to go to the drasha.
So
my issue is that I'm not sure whether I'm having my son with me or not. That complicates issue for me.
I mean, the school usually has the boys go to the drasha, so they're not going to have night seder.
Is there school on Monday?
There is school on Monday, but I'm assuming there will not be.
Are you giving your Gemara to your Shushar tomorrow?
I'm in the middle of discussing this, so I want to focus on this.
So the high school has school.
High school, there'll be no like extended program because they want the boys to go to the drasha. So once that's true,
and the I'm trying to think here. They normally daven mincha early in school. Do they? Will the drasha be followed by a marav?
I'm assuming so. I seem to recall that there usually is a marav afterwards.
Huh?
I seem to think that there's a marav afterwards. So 17 on the shul, that's where we're going to go.
They'll have a mincha marav there, presumably.
Right after the mincha marav there, basically.
Right after the mincha marav there, and then we'll do this, then we'll go straight up into the drasha.
Yeah. Yes, to be.
Yes. After mincha marav, we'll learn, right?
Like, yeah.
I suspect that maybe more, but maybe towards the end, maybe a little further.
And I'm assuming that the following time will be the Thursday evening back here.
Then Tuesday night, Wednesday night is obviously not relevant. So the next one after that is going to be
Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Back here at 8 o'clock.
Back here at 8 o'clock.
Or you want to move it up to an earlier time?
No, 8 o'clock is fine.
Huh?
8 o'clock sounds fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, all right. So it's just Monday and Thursday next week.
Aye. And then the following week is Sukkot. So Monday night is Sukkot.
Monday, Tuesday is out, obviously. And then presumably Wednesday.
So Wednesday night is the base of Shaveva.
Oh, so...
That's that. I might try and get some time in over there. Maybe we can get do something early.
All right. I don't know.
All right. Be very excited if we could.
Huh?
So we have two nights next week. We maybe finish Kuflin. Hey. That'd be nice.
Okay. Alright.
Judd?
Yes.
Would Shabbos morning, early morning work for you?
I don't know because I'm not feeling well.
Hey,
before Shlema.
And I'm sort of
on
I hear. That's a good point.
Can I make a suggestion? Have you tried raw garlic?
No, can't say that.
I will tell you what happened with me. I got sick when I was in yeshiva. The guy came to me and says, "Yeah, you have a cold." He says, "You should take raw garlic." I was like, "Are you nuts?" He's like, "You don't believe me? Ask a doctor." As it happened, they were.